Hi, folks. Thank you for joining us today. We are getting everyone into the meeting now. And Senator Singleton, I saw you were listed as an attendee, so I went ahead and moved you to a panelist. So you should be able to share your audio and video as once we start. All right, Lena, it looks like we're hitting critical mass whenever you start it.
Great, I will just share my screen and then be ready to go. So hi, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today for the Equity and Broadband Innovative Partnerships to Bridge the Digital Divide. I'm Lena Garrity. I'm the Program Director of Urban Innovation for the National League of Cities. Our urban innovation mission is to really support cities in their exploration and adoption of technology and use of data to improve the lives of everyone in their communities and make government services just work a little better than they sometimes have the tendency to do. So this session is the first of many NLC has planned to highlight trends in emerging technology and that are really of interest to city leaders. So webinar participants will have the chance to hear best practices and experiences with emerging technologies, really connect with some leading researchers and practitioners in these wide variety of fields, and envision how technology could improve the quality of life in their communities. Governments at all levels, but really cities in particular, are at the forefront of emerging technology. Their communities become testing grounds and sometimes happening without their permission. City councils have to create and pass policies to ensure safe operations and practices for technologies that are still being developed. It's a really exciting time in government innovation, but this work isn't possible without a strong foundation of digital infrastructure and access. We're really pleased to be partnering with Edison Electric Institute, a valued NLC partner, on this first event in our Emerging Technology webinar series. Like NLC, EEI is committed to breaking down the digital divide. Today we'll be hearing from some really great panelists on how Alabama is approaching this vital work. So I'll turn it over to John Smalla, the Director of Business Transformation and Administration for Alabama Power. And thanks again for joining us and be on the lookout for future emerging technology webinars from NLC.
Great, thank you, Lena. I very much appreciate it. And we are excited to hear about your ongoing emerging tech series. Very much appreciate what the National League of Cities NLC and EEI are doing the series and specifically for sponsoring today's webinar. Also, thank you to all of our attendees out there, all those that are out there now and the ones that will be joining shortly. I hope you're looking forward to today's webinar. Like Lena said, I'm John Smalla. I'm a director at Alabama Power, and our team really has the privilege to serve almost 1.5 million customers throughout Alabama. And each day we work to provide them the reliable service they expect. We're also identifying opportunities to really grow and elevate our state and create even more opportunities for the citizens of Alabama. One of the innovative solutions we've identified over the past few years is to expand broadband access, and that's what we're here to talk about today. We will provide a case study on the work that we hope you find interesting, as well as discussion of some policies with local leaders, mayors, and state senators. And some of those policies really further partnerships with telecommunication companies with the support of our public officials to really, at the end of the day, connect more Alabamians. So as we get started, let's do two quick housekeeping items, if that's okay. All the attendees out there, if you could direct any questions that you have to the chat box, the Q&A box, and we'll attempt to answer as many as we can throughout the panel, or certainly at the end of the panel. And if we can't get to all of them, we will certainly follow up with those after the fact. On that point, this event, it will be recorded, so you will have a chance to receive it by email later for additional review and sharing. So now quickly shifting to our panelists. And as we do that, John, if you could open up the video for all of us, that would be great, so that the panelists can join via video. So as I introduce that, if the panelists could try turning on their videos, but I will introduce each one of you all as we go through this. And first, let me say thank you, teacher. You were thrilled that you were able to join us today. It's a great mix of public officials, mayors, and private partners. So in our thought there is really showcased the full scope of what this initiative needs and how it's made progress in our state. So first, I would like to introduce Senator Bobby Singleton. He is the Alabama Senate Minority Leader representing the 24th District for the past 16 years. Senator Singleton was also a co-sponsor for the broadband legislation that recently passed. He's a graduate from Alabama State University and has a law degree from Miles College. And I should say, after introducing Bobby Singleton before going to next, more detailed bios for all of our speakers and panelists are in the link to the event and should be in the chat here shortly if it's not already there. So going from Senator Bobby Singleton to Mayor Terrence Windham. Mayor Windham is the mayor of Aliceville, Alabama. At 32, he's the youngest mayor and first African-American to be elected in Aliceville. He graduated from Jacksonville State University in Alabama before returning back to his hometown, where he's been involved in public service ever since. Then next we have Ben Moncrief. Ben Moncrief is the managing director of Alabama for the telecommunications firm CSpire. In his role at CSpire, Ben is responsible for developing business and policy solutions to achieve CSpire's strategic goals, including strategic partnerships and new business opportunities. Part of our partnership at Alabama Power with CSpire, Ben led that partnership was instrumental in its creation. Ben also oversees CSpire's interactions with the state and federal policymakers, advocate groups, other industry partners, and supports the media in the telecom policy space. So that is our panel, and I am really excited about that today. We have one more panelist that will hopefully be joining us soon. I should say the Alabama session is in right now, and so hopefully they will be able to join us here shortly. That panelist that was not able to join us just yet is Senator Clay Schofield. He is the Senate Majority Leader from the 9th District and has been in Senate since 2010. He is a very instrumental senator in the broadband space. He sponsored the Alabama Broadband Accessibility Fund 2 years ago and has since been amended and expanded through last year's session. So very much looking forward to Senator Schofield joining us here soon too. So with that, I'm gonna kind of kick it off to opening comments to the panelists. And there we go. Thank you, John, for the video working. So if anybody else, the panelists would like to join, so all our attendees can engage with us or feel the ability to engage a little bit more, that would be great. So thank you for that. Thanks, John. So then real quick to start and really get us going, I'll throw this question out just round robin across the panelist group. So just 1 to 2 minutes, I'd love for each panelist to just share what the state of broadband is in your respective area. So from a state perspective, a local perspective, or a telecom perspective. So if I could, Ben, let's start from your perspective, probably the newest perspective of this panel with CSpire recently moving into the state of Alabama. So if you could spend a minute just talking your opening thoughts as it relates to broadband in Alabama.
Yeah, it's thanks, John. Thanks to EEI and NLC for hosting this panel. We always, CSpire always enjoys the opportunity to talk about broadband expansion. It's our business, and obviously we see Alabama as an enormous opportunity for us and for economic growth through the expansion of broadband access. I think, you know, that my short answer to your question would be, it is a really exciting and challenging time to be in the broadband expansion business in Alabama. Alabama is in the worst position in terms of fiber access among residential premises in the Southeast. If you go right next door in Mississippi, where CSpire has been operating and providing fiber services for the last 7 years, almost 50% of residential premises have access to all fiber services. You tell folks around the country that, and that statistic is shocking to them. That puts Mississippi in about the top 12 or 13 states in the nation depending on exactly how you're counting fiber access. Alabama, less than 30% of residential premises have access to fiber. If you take Huntsville out of the calculation, that number drops well into the low 20s, maybe even the teens in terms of premises. So there's a real challenge here in Alabama in getting a lot of fiber infrastructure built out in the state. Obviously, it's an enormous opportunity for us. The good news is there's a great deal of leadership around that issue. John, you're familiar with that from an economic development standpoint. I see Senator Schofield joining us, Senator Singleton. Other legislative leaders and executive leaders in the state recognize this lack of access and have over the past couple of years, and we can talk in more detail about these later on in the panel, taken a number of really important steps to encourage investment by companies like my own in fiber infrastructure, both in rural and urban areas across. So again, I'd summarize by saying it's an exciting time in Alabama for broadband expansion. There's some challenges in just a big construction project. But the policy realm, the policy platforms that are necessary to make that investment are largely done. There's some more big pieces to come, but we're excited to be here and be participating in that.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate that perspective. If we could then move to you real quick, Mayor Windham, and get kind of the state of broadband from your perspective, and that's from a smaller town in Alabama, what it means for you all and your citizens. And then as we, right after that, I will quickly introduce Senator Schofield. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Mayor Windham.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being a part of this panel. And as far as what broadband means to a small city, I believe it means the same thing from a small city standpoint to a large city standpoint. I don't know anybody who does day-to-day business that doesn't utilize the internet at some point in their day. And so from that perspective, that gives the opportunity for a level playing field. But with that lack of access and that 30% that Mr. John was just speaking about, it's affected more so in rural communities such as my own. So a lot of the problems were magnetized and brought to the forefront, especially as COVID-19 closed schools. So we were in a position to where we were having group hotspots and places where kids could do homework in one spot. So it was just very interesting. So broadband to us is just a simple lifeline that we need in order to survive as a city.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Windham. And then now shifting to Senator Singleton and Senator Schofield from a state perspective. And we know y'all are kind of in the thick of broadband conversations and have been for a couple years, but we'd love to hear, the state of broadband from, capital perspective, but also the areas you all represent, your districts.
Hey, well, thank y'all so much for having us today. I represent all of Marshall County, my home county, and then northeast, about the northern third of Blount County, southwest DeKalb, and then southeast Madison, including South Huntsville. And frankly, as far as connectivity, my district is in, pretty good shape. We have areas, obviously, that don't have internet. Where my farm is, we don't have it on the Blount Marshall County line in the southern part of the Marshall County. So a lot of people ask me, why are you really focusing on this? When we look at a service areas, you're in pretty good shape. And I believe I'm a big believer in a rising tide lifts all boats, and a lot of our areas in the state are not covered. And I think that when you look at broadband and, having connectivity, I think it can act as a great equalizer. If everyone has access to information for education, can work at home from any type, many different occupations. Now we're seeing that you can work at home. and especially now healthcare. You know, I mean, you know, telemedicine was already coming on strong, but now it's really coming on strong. And for a place like for our Mayor Windham in Aliceville, that, you know, in some of our rural areas, I mean, what a wonderful thing that a patient could get a cancer screening with MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, without leaving their home in Aliceville, Alabama. And I mean, that is a big deal that really a lot of our small towns and our rural communities that do not have amenities or you know, healthcare facilities or you know, certain type professionals, this opens the world up to those areas. And COVID has, you know, we've seen 6 years worth of innovation in 6 months, I believe, and I don't think we're going to go back. And so it's imperative that the state makes this a priority. And I'm proud to say that we have done that over the past several years with our the broadband fund that we, the legislature, created and supported by the governor. And, you know, our first year, we were only able to get about $7.4 million in that fund, which obviously, as many of you know, is a grant program that requires some type of matching dollars from our provider friends, who we definitely look at as wonderful partners. The government does not need to be in the business. It needs to be with the professionals who know what they're doing, in even down to customer service. The government doesn't always have the best customer service. So y'all know what you're doing, and we need to partner with y'all, and we are partnering with y'all to help solve this infrastructure problem. So for the past several years, we have managed to bump that number up to $25 million. And to put that into perspective, you know, that $25 million has helped draw down $44 million worth of private investment. So we are successful in helping those dollars multiply. And so the problem though comes in that, okay, if you add those two numbers up, when we look at the total cost, estimated cost of what we think would cost to build out the state of Alabama, and again, this is an estimate, you know, it ranges from $4 to $6 billion. So as you can imagine, you know, $69 million a year is going to take a long time to fill that void. And so our problem moving forward definitely is funding and getting more funding to help encourage more companies to invest in these areas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hopefully we'll have some time to discuss some of the federal activity going on in that space and how you all at the state level, Senator Schofield and Senator Singleton, are thinking about how a state like ours, like Alabama, takes advantage of certain federal programs and federal legislation that's being discussed, because there's a lot of resources out there and they need to make sure their states like ours take advantage of that. So thank you for those comments, Senator Schofield, and sharing a little bit on the legislation that passed. I would like Senator Singleton, who represents obviously a different part of the state that looks different than Senator Schofield, to share kind of his thoughts on what broadband looks like in his area, and then his perspective on the legislation that Senator Schofield referenced that enabled additional funding, both public and private dollars, to broadband infrastructure. So Senator Singleton, do you mind sharing your area's perspective on broadband and any other thoughts you have on a state legislative perspective for broadband?
Thank you. And first of all, let me apologize for my camera if you can't see me. My camera probably is out, and I've been over here having technical difficulties where I am now, so we got a broadband problem. So I want to thank you all for having us here and think of the rest of the panelists. Broadband in my area, where I represent, is 90% rural area in the rural Black Belt community. It's a sparsely community to where homes are spaced out across open lands, not a lot of interstate highway that runs through to bring down a lot of fiber. There's a lot of dark fiber in the area, but not being utilized for services for broadband or for home usage. So what we see in the Black Belt is a really, really dark spot across the state. It is completely black. So therefore, we're missing out on a lot of opportunities to be able to build economic development in that area, to be able to bring in school-based, new school programs. It's just kind of hard to do it without having access to it. Healthcare is a problem. Telemedicine is an issue. It affects our mental health department. And so we're having some issues in the West Alabama area that I represent. And when you look at that, I just want to say, I want to tell Senator Schofield, my minority leader, and I want to thank him publicly here. Ever since we've started down this journey, and because he has no problem with connectivity in his area, he has committed that areas like West Alabama will be the first in the build out as we start to build out the state. And so working in partnership, Clay, I want to thank you for that commitment. And because you could stop, you could be doing something else because you already have that connectivity. And so just to show that the concern that you've been working with communities and the program and the legislation that you have funded, you know, many rural areas are now beginning to have some form of broadband as we're coming across with these programs. So we can see and build on the difference in what it's making in the community based on the matching partnership that Clay had put together. I supported that, was a co-sponsor of it, glad to be a co-sponsor of it. I'm proud of what we're building here in Alabama in terms of the conversations we're having, even conversations like this. You know, 5 years ago, we weren't having these kind of conversations on broadband. And so now that it's catching on, this pandemic has shown us where we are. I think that with the gaming legislation that we're looking at, where dollars would be allocated for the first $1 billion going to broadband, to try to build out this state, to build a public private partnership, you know, all the way over to setting up the broadband authority to make sure that we get policy based on new technology that are coming out. And it may not all be fiber in the ground. It may even have a mixture of what we can do in the satellite space, you know? So we're gonna have to start looking at broadband in all of our areas as a utility. It just can't be something, a necessity that we need. It has to become a part of our lives and it needs to be looked at as a utility. And I appreciate the way we are approaching it here in Alabama is we are looking at it as if it's gonna be the new utility in Alabama. So we want to be able to affect education, telemedicine, other parts of healthcare, and I think we're moving in the right direction to do something great in this state. Thank you.
That's great, Senator Singleton. Thank you for that. If I could then shift back to you, Mayor Windham, because both, or specifically Senator Singleton, you know, mentioned the areas he represents, his district. In the Black Belt of Alabama, very partially or, you know, underserved type area or unserved type area. And in Aliceville, unfortunately, I think gives a real life example of what that looks like. So you serve 2,400 citizens in Aliceville, small town Alabama. You've mentioned the education and healthcare challenges of a city like that that's not close to even another mid-sized city. But I was wondering if you could share, you know, how is your city and the leadership of your city thinking about ways to address some of those, you know, broadband connectivity issues in a town like yours?
Well, for me personally, as a person growing up in the digital age, I'm 33 years old. So from that perspective, I came in when or grew up in a time where Wi-Fi was not a requirement. But oftentimes, as younger individuals, even older individuals, the first thing that when they get to your house, they ask you the question, hey, what's the Wi-Fi code? So with that being said, it's a unique life that now we have transitioned from not having to have something or having it as a luxury. I remember when internet was a luxury, and if you wanted to get on the internet, then you went to the library to go and do your research. Now we have washing machines, refrigerators, toasters, your air conditioning unit. It's all connected to your Wi-Fi and so or to your internet connection. And sometimes, and one of some of the things that we have done as far as locally is try to partner with various entities that are aggressive with their activity as far as broadband goes. My involvement is more recent than the senator's involvement. One of the first things that I learned, I thought that broadband would only specifically be through fiber wire in the ground or through solar or through satellite. However, one of the things that we've been able to champion since I came into office is a partnership with a local cable company. They're called Vi now. They used to be called Northland Cable. And they're utilizing the cable lines that were previously used for cable. Nobody has cable anymore. Everybody does the direct TV or whatever TV or some kind of subscription online. And so they found a way to utilize that cable that's already there, already wired in a house, in a home, and utilize the internet speed or increase rather the internet speed that's available. Normally we would get a internet speed of about 20 megs per second, which anybody would tell you is dinosaur pace right now. Currently now they're trying to work to a faster pace to where we get 100 megs and eventually 200 megs. So those are the things, and I think the senator alluded to it. The internet is the great equalizer. It's one of those things to where previously, you know, it was the haves and the have-nots as far as who could have industry, who could have people that come in to want to build companies inside of your town. Now, as it was mentioned, COVID has changed all of that. COVID has shown that you can run a multi-million-dollar company from your couch. However, you have to have the fiber optics, you have to have the broadband in order to sustain that. We currently have a company that has made a multi-million-dollar investment in agriculture in our area. But one of the issues that they're facing is the fact that they don't have connectivity to connect these expensive devices to the internet so they can get software updates. So we often run into the problem of trying to compete with individuals like the Tuscaloosas and the Huntsvilles and the Birmingham, but because they already have that infrastructure, we have to find unique ways to make partnerships available. And we've been blessed that we're beginning to get some more traction, and we hope to have even more providers. So that way, it's not the cost is not prohibitive as well, because of course we're living in the Black Belt area, and the income average can't afford that expensive broadband for some incomes. So it's a balancing act to try to get the service and then also get it at a rate to which everybody can participate in. So those are some of the challenges that we've faced thus far.
Absolutely. Under great feedback, great thoughts there, Mayor Windham. Unfortunately, a lot of challenges there. And I know you could probably spend the whole panel talking about the challenges for a town like Aliceville. But one thing I do want to hit on that you mentioned, Mayor Windham, and Senator Schofield kind of hit on it too in his comments. From your perspective, Mayor Windham, you mentioned partnerships. Senator Schofield mentioned the fact that government needs to enable this to allow, matches to happen, investment to happen, you know, partnerships to happen. So I kind of want to look at it from two perspectives. First, the telecommunications perspective from CSPIRE's point of view, and then I'll shift back to the two senators to see, you know, their thoughts on ways to enable and further partnerships. But first, Ben, if you don't mind, from a CSPIRE's perspective, first, you know, what intrigued y'all to the state of Alabama, and then how do partnerships fit within your business model at CSPIRE?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what first caused us to focus on Alabama was that statistic I shared at the beginning, which is this real lack of fiber infrastructure in the state of Alabama. When you look around the Southeast today, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida all have substantially double-digit percentage terms more fiber availability at every home than the state of Alabama. A lot of people have tried to explain that. I'm not sure anybody's really hit on it, but for some reason, the incumbent providers in the state of Alabama have not invested in fiber infrastructure over the past decade. So it was an business opportunity first. The second piece was there were partners looking to deploy fiber in Alabama. We struck a partnership with the power company that allows us to lease a portion of the fiber that is in the electrical grid that allows us to more quickly reach communities. We've deployed in Jasper, we've deployed in Trustful, that we otherwise, it would have taken years to construct fiber to. So those partnerships, the ability to leverage existing infrastructure providers, fiber that's there for an additional purpose is really important. The other thing is that we continue to see in Mississippi and increasingly in Alabama, electrical co-ops who are recipients of RDOF funding or maybe USDA or Rural Utility Service funding that are deploying their own fiber. Well, those local distribution networks require long-haul fiber to power them. The example that the mayor gave via the local cable provider, the reason they're able to upgrade the service available over that old coax cable is because they were able to bring fiber closer to the Aliceville community. So in all of these circumstances, you've got to bring fiber closer to the customer. We think it should be brought all the way to the customer premises, but you've got to bring it closer nonetheless. And so through those electrical co-ops, we're able to extend our long-haul network, provide wholesale internet to that co-op, who can then take that big pipe and use it to serve the residential premises, schools, anchor institutions, businesses throughout their local communities. So together, those two partnerships, the one with the power company and then the one, and then increasing opportunities with electrical co-ops really help make that decision for us, help us make the capital commitment to put fiber in the ground here in Alabama. And then the third thing I'll say is just local leadership. It takes a mayor, it takes a regional economic developer stepping up and saying, all right, we're going to clear the red tape out of the way. There's the construction cost. There's always the construction cost of putting fiber in the ground. But those local political leaders who are willing to move the red tape out of the way, whether it's a onerous permitting scheme or old franchise agreements that don't even contemplate fiber optic deployment, if they're willing to tackle those with us, that really opens up opportunity. And we consider that a partnership. It's an arm's length negotiation, but we are now decades worth of infrastructure in those communities. And so we see those city leaders, those regional leaders as partners in these deployment. And like I said, one of the reasons Alabama was attractive is that those folks, that type of leadership was really emerging across the board from the state level all the way down to local municipalities.
That's great. Thank you, Ben. And then if I could shift to Senator Schofield and Senator Singleton. Senator Schofield, you mentioned the what we call, you know, SB 90, but the Alabama Broadband Accessibility Fund. And I think within that innovative legislation, it almost encourages partnerships through infrastructure matching and creative use of planned or existing infrastructure. But I'd be curious for you two to expand on that program, that fund, and then even share, you know, the current broadband conversations going on in the session that I think you ran right out of to make this webinar.
Right, sure. You know, the fund essentially, the legislature appropriates the dollars. ADECA administers the program, and I think they have done a great job with it. Most of our providers You know, the feedback that I've received is that they are doing a good job with it. But they, you know, we set certain criteria. You know, we prioritized unserved areas of the state of Alabama. And so those, you know, it's a point system that, you know, different areas that are served, there's, you know, they get additional points if they're serving library schools, hospitals, you know, et cetera. And then it's up to a 50% match. 2 years ago, I believe it was, we added a middle mile component, you know, to create that, what I would call an interstate system. You know, I'm a believer in, you know, the thing I liked about the co-ops and our friends at the power company is that you already have a lot of the work already done. You have the right of way. You've done a lot of the work. So when we're talking about, you know, expanding broadband, really, you know, when you have the right of way, you've done two things. Number one, you've lowered your cost. And then number two, you've sped it up. You know, right of way acquisition, the red tape and all that takes time. And so, our program, we're a little more ambitious than what the feds just passed. They're giving everyone 6 years. We're giving you 2 years and that's doable. And we arrived at that number by consulting with our providers. What's a good number? There, what can you do this in? So, we're gonna, you know, we do a 2 year and then, you know, obviously that has clawbacks and, you know, as far as accountability for the taxpayers, cause these are tax dollars, you don't get the money until you complete the project and so there's plenty of accountability that goes along with it, which I think is important for the tax dollars. And with that, I'll leave the you know, what's next and what's going on right now for my friend Senator Singleton.
Well, thank you, Clay. I think what's next is we just have to get on board and support what we have out here and what everybody has been working on. And I want to thank you, Clay, for what you all are doing. A lot of rural areas and, you know, the number of providers that are participating in the program has been strong and been consistent. And so a lot of my rural community has been blessed by this program. Kids were able to get on the internet just a little bit to be able to do school, to get through school programs this year, because of some of the areas that I represent was beneficial from this program. And so we're looking at next is how do we partner in the state of Alabama with the public-private partnership in dealing with broadband. If we're gonna raise $1 billion off of gaming, if it passes the legislature, go to the people for the vote. And the goal is to raise $1 billion out of that over the next 10 years, giving those authorities the ability to be able to have bonding power. And so if we can go on and get a process to moving across the state, I think that we can start building some real good partnership with these providers to make sure that we touch every crook and nick and corner in the state and being able to do it at a reasonable cost, not to the customers. So there's a lot of good conversations that are going on around. ADECA had a successful program over when the voucher program through the CARES Act. A lot of schools in rural areas were able to benefit from that $300 million program. Broadband is just going up in the state. And the conversations, the players, I also want to thank Alabama Power for coming to the table, willing to, you know, play in the middle mile space and allow the state to be able to grow forward with being a partner with a trusted company in the state that that has the access and resources that are already in the ground, and that we can just build off of that. That is saying strong. That is a commitment, and we really appreciate it. And so I think, we're moving forward with this advisory authority that Senator Marsh is setting up, setting policy, looking at policy in the future, making sure that we are looking at the best technology that's out there, being able to have a group like that to study all of that, to set a plan for the state of Alabama. I think that's going to be strong. That'll help give us some direction in terms of where we're going, how we're spending money, and how we're going to be able to measure the bang for our buck and be able to get the return back off of those dollars. So I think that we have a good plan moving forward. It just got to be executed.
Hey, John, if I could piggyback on just that point real quick, I think one of the areas of foresight that the legislature has had in Alabama is addressing both ends of the problem. Both, how do you get local distribution into communities and throughout communities that have thus far starved for internet access, but also how do you build the statewide backbone necessary to power those, right? A lot of people have gotten this wrong. They've built the road from the house to the grocery store, but they didn't take a look at how do you get the produce from the farm to the store. You've got to do both. You've got to build that highway system, that backbone, in order to reach these local communities. And then you also have to tackle the problem of distribution networks in these local communities. And the really good thing over the past several sessions, but particularly with the bill Senator Singleton, Senator Schofield are referring to, SB 215, you're tackling both of those problems simultaneously. And that's a critical aspect that Alabama has gotten right.
Good. Thank you for that, Ben. And just a quick response to Senator Singleton's remarks on, Alabama Power's role in this, and very much appreciate that, Senator Singleton. And all of y'all have mentioned about the importance of connectivity, internet data as the new utility. And, we truly believe that that is what drives our economies that we serve. And we need to support that because it's going to support the communities that we serve that we want to grow and prosper. And if we don't further that in whatever way makes sense for us, then we are certainly not doing our part. And we were founded on serving those communities. And we believe that's part of our mission in this new world that we live today. So thank you for that comment, Senator Singleton. And then if I could, one of our last questions that I want each panelist to hit on, and then we've gotten a few Q&As in that we'll address, but I want each, the two senators, Ben and Mayor Windham, all to address this. And it kind of goes upon Ben's comments that it's, long haul, middle mile, down to the customer in use. So, I mean, it's got to look at the full spectrum of what is in this landscape. But thinking about it, not really from the infrastructure perspective, but the teamwork that requires from all levels of government, the partnerships that are required that are crucial to bridging the digital divide. So from each one of your perspective, a state perspective, a local perspective, or a telecom perspective, could you all provide, say, 2 minutes on the importance of communicating from the legislature down to the municipalities and with the partners involved, like a power company or a telecom, to ensure that everybody's working together on these policies that benefit everyone? So it is, it's not a local issue, even if you have it. It's not, purely just one isolated at the Capitol. It requires leaders like the two senators and the mayors to, have those open lines of communication, pulling in the right telecommunication and infrastructure partners to make this happen. So the question there really is, what can we do better? What are we doing now? And what can we do better to ensure that the state legislators, local communities, as well as the other partners involved in broadband are all at the table, all talking, and what are the topics that need to be discussed at that table? So Senator Schofield, if you don't mind, if I could ask your perspective there first, sir.
Well, the communication is going to be critical and the teamwork is going to be critical. When I started all this out, I wanted it to be a all hands on deck approach. We're eventually, one of the things, most important things that we are doing is by the end of this year, we should have an address level map of where we are in the state of Alabama. what areas are covered, what areas are not, and those that are covered, what levels of or speeds are there. That's not an Alabama problem alone, that we don't have that. It's a nationwide problem. And once we get this done, we will be one of a handful of states only that has that. Once we have that mapping done, then we can come up with a plan, and we can come up with an estimate, a true estimate of what this cost is going to be. So once we have a plan in place, and frankly, that plan is going to have to come from everyone being at the table, everyone's, you know, communicating and getting ideas on how we deploy this, what that's going to look like. That's going to be critical. You're going to have, you know, federal programs in that mix that are going to come online at different times. So, communication is going to be key from the, you know, federal side as well. You look at areas, one of our other challenges is going to be when you look at areas like Bibb County, for instance, Perry County, Barber County, there are no companies there currently. Perry County, there's no homegrown, there's no telephone company there. There's nothing there right now. That if they decided to do this, they could do it. There's nothing there. And so those are going to be challenges in those areas and those companies. Who's going to do it? How do we get them incentivized to come in there and do that, to deploy the broadband? So communication is going to be key between government and our providers moving forward once we get that plan.
Great, thank you. And that's a great point, Senator Schofield, that and we'll hit on this in some of the Q&A. It's I failed to mention the fact that communication to DC and our federal partners there have a role to play in that as well. Great point there. So
can I mention one more thing, absolutely, while I'm at it, for anyone listening, when you're engaging DC on any future programs. And I mentioned this to at that time under Secretary Perdue, who was administering the USDA program that went on. Give points to states that are having skin, that are putting skin in the game. Give additional scoring points that when our providers apply for these grants, give additional points. Right now, we're actually being penalized. It's just the opposite of the way it should be. I think we should, our companies in Alabama should be rewarded because we're putting skin in the game on the state level.
That's a great point. And jump around a little bit, Mayor Windham, I'm going to get back to you on communication from your perspective too. State legislators and even, federal government, but just to build on what Senator Schofield was saying right there, because it's one of the questions that came in, and they were asking what would, this panel hope to see in federal infrastructure package in terms of new funding or changes. So I think Senator Schofield hit on one of those right now is, I think a state like Alabama that is making strides either from a grant program like SB 90 or private investment, is to ensure that infrastructure, to Senator Schofield's point, gets counted. It needs to be valued. It needs to be valued in the right way as it relates to money and projects flowing from the federal government to states like Alabama or any other similarly situated state. So historically, that has not always been the case. Certain types of providers have not been applicable to certain programs. And the valuation and matching of certain infrastructure doesn't get counted. So I think a lot of us would be in alignment to mention that as it relates to a federal infrastructure package. So thank you for bringing that up, Senator Schofield. Certainly hit on one of the questions we received. So shifting back real quick, Mayor Windham, if we could, you engaging with the senators like Singleton and Senator Schofield, as well as any, federal constituents, what does that communication look like for you? What's your major focus there, representing a small state town?
I think the main objective is to know what's going on, know legislation that's being introduced, and then giving us opportunity to review it and see what it works like on a practical level. Sometimes mandates will come federally, or sometimes even from the state, that a city my size or larger would look at that as a hindrance, and they wouldn't even attempt to apply for the funds because of the gigantic mountain that they face in making the connection. So I think there has to be a balance in what's going to be required of the city, making certain things on a scale, as the senator mentioned, saying if you're a city this size, and this will be your requirement. If you're a city that size, this will be some of your requirements. But a blanket statement sometimes is done in good thought process, but it hinders smaller cities whose resources just don't have the funds in order to make broadband happen with that tight partnership. But I think once you get beyond some of those, getting in the weeds of some of those things and ideas, just communication, once some legislation has passed, being informed about that, letting the county commissions know, letting the mayors in the area know. So then that way they know how to execute whatever decision has been made. But I think that's the first step is, you know, knowing what's on the table, and then giving some practical suggestions to things that are in the field. Because as you know, sometimes great ideas come forth, but it's not practical in an everyday situation, depending on what various city situations are in.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Windham. And to build on that, both senators have referenced, and I think Ben at CSPIRE's referenced too, the kind of current legislation working through the state of Alabama legislature right now on a broadband type authority, with one of the goals to improve and increase the collaboration throughout the state, because I think a lot of people recognize, whether it's a federal opportunity or even state opportunity, not every municipality has the resources to take advantage of what's available to them. So having, you know, these partnerships and collaboration to support the cities and have representation on that, where they are not only on a digital island, but on a communication island as well too. I think the state of Alabama has a good, you know, use case to show how you can break down some of those barriers. So we'd love to share more about that. Ben, to close that out, and then a couple questions, just from a telecommunications company perspective, how do y'all engage in, you know, this communication that we're talking about, both to the federal, state legislature, and also with local municipalities?
Sure. At the state and federal level, we're talking about things like 2 years ago, HB 400, which I think Senator Schofield was referencing, that opened up the ability for right-of-ways in the state of Alabama to be used for communications purposes for the deployment of fiber. So those kinds of state-level activities that really, there aren't about hard sense, but they really impact the cost and the burden to deployment, are great areas for state leaders to attack. And we're always advocating for that. Obviously, coordinating of effort, as I said, for both local and statewide deployment is important. And that's what the legislature has got underway now with SB 215. We think that's a fantastic approach, a very thoughtful approach, frankly, that you don't see out of every state. And we're glad to see that in Montgomery. At the federal level, our advocacy is focused on whether it's an infrastructure bill, whether it's USDA funding, whether it's FCC funding, that funding should favor fiber optic deployment. And the reason for that is it's great to throw some money at extending a coax network, coax or cable network or copper network into some rural areas. But that just means we're gonna be back here having this conversation again in 2 years when data demands have outpaced that technology. The smart money is investing in fiber optic deployment, not only because it delivers higher capacity, but because it delivers symmetric service. And what that means is the same speed is available upstream as downstream. It used to be hard to explain that, But now in the midst of a pandemic, when everybody's working from home, trying to take class from home, if they're an engineer uploading their CAD drawings for their employer, they're now contributing as much to the internet as they are downloading. And so that fiber infrastructure has got to be as close as possible to the user. And we think any federal funding program should prioritize that as they're making decisions about how to allot those dollars. Same for the state level as well. Last thing, I'll give a quick list on local level. When we're talking to cities, the three things that drive decision-making for our deployments are demand, what's the local demand for the service, the density, which is often difficult to impact for a local leader, but the density of the community, and then the distance from long-haul fiber. In Alabama today, a lot is being done to solve the distance from long-haul fiber problem through investment in infrastructure and paving the way for long-haul lines. And then at the local level, a lot can be done about demand. Generating grassroots demand. The reason we're in Jasper, Alabama is because David O'Meary demanded it, the mayor. He was relentless in ensuring that his community was served by fiber and clearing any obstacles that prevented that. And so that type of local leadership can really change the demand calculus and cause providers like CSpire and others to come into a city and deploy where they may have otherwise looked to a larger place or a more dense place. Because we want to serve where people want us. And the best way to evidence that is reaching out and clearing those red tape obstacles at the local level to get a deployment to happen.
Great. Thank you, Ben. And then just to close it out, just ensure Senator Singleton, anything to add to the comments to our fellow panelists before we answer a few more questions?
No, I think the gentleman wrapped it up perfectly. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Senator Singleton. Very good. Well, one question that we've somewhat hit on, but not directly, and I'll pull it out. It came in through the Q&A, but they mentioned the fact that, you know, broadband, the digital divide, is not just a rural issue; it's an urban issue. You know, there are pockets in cities within our state and all the states, you know, represented by the attendees on the call that have the same lack of broadband a couple miles outside their downtown that somebody in Senator Singleton's area in far west Alabama with the closest mid-sized city 50 miles away would have. And so the question specifically was on how do you, especially from a state legislature perspective, I would kick this to Senator Schofield and Senator Singleton. How do y'all think about, you all think about the fact that it's not just a rural or urban issue. It's really just an unserved and underserved issue, and make sure we don't forget about some of the neighborhoods that are just right outside some of our largest cities as on top of the massive problem we have in a lot of the rural parts of the state.
Oh, I'll chime in. I respect that. I respect that, you know, in urban areas lack dark spots, you know, inside of their cities also. So I don't see them any different. It's about access to service. It's served and underserved, as you said. But, you know, the reason we put a lot of emphasis on rural is because it's just no service at all, period. In a lot of areas. So it's just such a wide spread in the rural areas, and the digital divide is getting much, much wider. But I do respect the urban areas, and I think we should serve them equally.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, the issue does, I mean, there are some, you know, what I would call digital deserts in our urban areas. And, you know, frankly, sometimes that, you know, the infrastructure may be there, but you just don't have, or it may be near and the take rate just isn't there. I mean, you can, you know, for all what we're talking about, you know, you could have broadband down every street in Alabama, but that doesn't necessarily equate into everyone connecting to the service. I mean, it is a service, and right. Look, at the end of the day, you're for-profit companies for the most part, or, you know, or your co-op. But you have to make it work. You've got to make it pencil. So in some areas, whether it's, you know, rural or urban, oftentimes that's the issue, is the take rate just isn't there to really get you to expand in certain areas. And that's why, you know, when we talk about access, I think affordability is critical to the mayor's point earlier. And you know, once I think more people are on it and there are more paying customers, hopefully that price will come down. Technology, once it, you know, continues to evolve, hopefully equipment and things like that will help drive the cost down. And so I'm with you. I hear you on that. And I know Senator Singleton does as well, because we've had a lot of conversations on that.
Great. Thank you. Well, we are 1 minute past time. I know a few questions we didn't get to that we'll certainly follow up after the fact through information. But certainly want to thank our fellow panelists, Senator Schofield, Senator Singleton. Thank you very much for your support of this panel and your leadership for the state of Alabama. And then Mayor Windham, representing Aliceville and your leadership there and all the constituents there, but also pushing on companies and other partners in this space to think about it beyond just the city. And then being a company like CSpire to make investments and to grow infrastructure in the state. We obviously all need more investments to hit the number Senator Schofield said. So thank you that. Thank you to all y'all. And thank you to EEI and NLC for sponsoring this panel again. Like Senator Schofield mentioned, we need more conversations like this. It's going to take investments, but it's also going to take putting people around the table to discuss use cases like the state of Alabama. And I hope everybody, the attendees today, learn something from what we are doing in the state, and would love to engage more with you all, either that's from a legislative perspective, a municipal perspective, or a private industry perspective, because we do believe that we are moving in the right direction in our state, and would love to talk more about that with anybody of interest. So thank you all again. I hope everybody enjoyed the time, and best of luck to everybody on your broadband endeavors in the future. If you have any questions you'd like to follow up, please contact John D'Angelo, jdangelo@eei.org, and we will go from there. But y'all have a good rest of your day. If you're in the Southeast, enjoy this fantastic weather, and hope to see everybody soon.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Good to see you.